Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from the CITR station at UBC Point Grey Campus, located in the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. This week, we have a very special episode for all of you, and that is the case because I'll be reviewing two different films and one TV show. The movies that I'll be reviewing will be Bodies, 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 and Fall, and the TV show that I'll be reviewing will be I Am Groot. That said, this whole episode is also going to be accompanied by music from the three things being reviewed, Bodies, 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 Fall, and I Am Groot. But now, before we jump into our first review of the day and I give you my thoughts on Bodies, 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 let's go into our first musical break and let's go listen to Hot Girl by Charlie XCX. And here it is.
Yeah. Pop girl, rich girl, I'm a bitch girl. Fast girl, catch me if you can, girl. You a swerve girl, who the fuck are you, girl? You just wanna be me, I'm a hot girl. Pop girl, rich girl, I'm a bitch girl. Fast girl, catch me if you can, girl. You a swerve girl, who the fuck are you, girl? You just wanna be me. Pull up to the mansion, pull up to the party. All my friends are so hot, we gonna get it started. Pull up to the mansion, but you are not invited. Lip gloss on and I look good, cause I'm a hot girl. Pop girl, rich girl, I'm a bitch girl. Fast girl, catch me if you can, girl. You a swerve girl, who the fuck are you, girl? You just wanna be me, I'm a hot girl. Pop girl, rich girl, I'm a bitch girl. Fast girl, catch me if you can, girl. You a swerve girl, who the fuck are you, girl? You just wanna be me.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you'll enjoy that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our first review of the day, our review of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. So Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is the newest film from A24, and it follows a group of friends who go to a remote family mansion in order to party and get wasted while there's a hurricane outside. While in this mansion, they decide to play a game called Bodies, 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 which is basically an identity game similar to Mafia or Werewolf. Cards are dealt, someone becomes the murderer, and the murderer must kill other players while the other players try to figure out who the murderer is. So yes, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is very much a whodunit. That said, this is not your typical whodunit, this is an A24 whodunit. As we all know, A24 films don't usually play by the rules of conventional cinema, they are unique. And one of the things that make A24 films so unique is the fact that they blend many different genres. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is not the exception. Yes, it is a whodunit, but it is also a horror thriller and a comedic satire. And when it comes to my general thoughts about Bodies, 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 I thought this film was amazing. I came in with very low expectations. I'm not gonna lie, the trailers didn't impress me that much. That said, I had a blast and I thought this film was really freaking amazing. And yes, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies really surprised me. And the reason why it surprised me so much is because it doesn't really focus on what I consider to be the two most important elements of film. And yet I still love it. If you ask me, Juan, what are the two most important elements of cinema, I would subjectively say story and characters. Yes, all other elements are extremely important. The visuals, the editing, the music, the acting, all of those elements are extremely, extremely important. That said, if you ask me what are the two most important elements of any movie, I would say story and characters. Now, this film doesn't focus on them. This film isn't focused on story or isn't focused on characters. And don't get me wrong, there are some very solid twists and story progressions throughout the film, and there are some great moments of character interactions throughout the whole movie. That said, this film isn't focused in its story or its characters. Instead, it is focused on its atmosphere. This film is focused in putting you in the shoes of these characters and allowing you to experience this insane f***ed up night along with them. This film's main concern is to get you to experience the fear and mistrust that the characters are feeling. The best way I could put it is this film really reminded me of other A24 movies such as Climax and Good Time. You know, all three of these films happen in a very short self-contained period of time. They all take place in the time span of one night. All three of these films are more concerned with creating atmosphere than with developing a story or exploring characters, and all three of these movies are extremely hectic. You feel like you need to take a breather after watching them. So yes, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is a very atmospheric and immersive film, and one of the reasons why it succeeds at being immersive and atmospheric are, without a doubt, its visuals. This whole film takes place in a single, very dark location, and in different hands, the visuals of this movie could have become stale and repetitive really quick. That said, cinematographer Jasper Wolf and director Halina Rajan use shadows and colors in such a way that the visuals are always interesting and fresh. Now, there are other things that I have to mention when it comes to things that I really freaking love about Bodies, 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 and one of those things is the satiric nature of this movie. I love how this film uses humor and exaggeration to expose and criticize human behaviors that are very relevant today. These are behaviors that are relevant to Gen Zers, the generation that I belong to. The way I see it, this film criticizes the fact that even though our generation counts with more tools than ever to create relationships, we still use this to keep us apart. You know, we have phones, social media, the internet, dating apps, and much, much more. That said, even though we count with all of these tools, we still struggle to create meaningful connections or relationships that aren't simply superficial, hypocritical, or fake. And the fact that the film criticizes this is evident throughout the whole movie. At the beginning, everything is great, you know, all the characters are friends and they are having a lot of fun. That said, as the movie progresses and tension begins to build up, we quickly see just how flimsy and superficial these friendships truly are. You know, throughout the film, the unique tools that are meant to bring us together are sources of conflicts for the characters of this movie and end up dividing them instead of bringing them together. Now, another element that I have to mention is the comedy. And when it comes to the comedy of this film, I thought it was great and it really made me laugh. That said, most of the jokes in this film do rely on the current Gen Z humor. Therefore, I don't really know how well some of these jokes are gonna age. To me right now, these jokes are hilarious because I am a Gen Zer who is constantly exposed to Gen Z humor. That said, I don't know how well the comedy of this film is gonna hold up when those watching these movies are not Gen Zers who know about Gen Z humor of the early 2020s. And the other element that I would like to discuss is the ending. When it comes to the ending, I loved it. I thought it wrapped up everything perfectly, and I thought it was a very satisfying and very, very good ending. That said, I can definitely see how this ending could be controversial, and to some, even disappointing. You know, I generally believe that the ending of this movie will either make or break your experience watching it. For me, it worked, but I don't know. It maybe won't for you. So in conclusion, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is an extremely atmospheric film that puts you in the shoes of its characters and forces you to experience this extremely f***ed up night along with them. It is a clever satire that manages to use humor to comment on the superficiality and phoniness of modern relationships, and it is a film that will particularly connect with Gen Zers. If I were to give it a score in between 1 to 10, I would give it a 9 out of 10, which means I thought it was amazing. And that is it for my review of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. But now, before we jump into our second review of the day, which is a review of Fall, it is time to go into our second musical break, and let's go listen to I Have Never Felt More Alive by Madison Beer. And here it is.
Escape from Lizard City goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City.
Oh, I see the love thinking over time.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sá, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you enjoyed that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our second review of the day, which is a review of Fall. Fall follows best friends Becky and Hunter as they try to survive at the top of a 2,000-foot radio tower with no way to come down. Basically, as the story goes, they climb to the very top of a radio tower, but while they're up there, the stairs that they use to climb up fall down and they are stuck at the very top. And when it comes to my general thoughts about Fall, I thought this film was pretty freaking great. You know, I know I'm in the minority. I know that most people aren't loving this film as much as I am. But what can I say? I have a soft spot for this type of films. I love movies that are set in one extremely small location. I don't mean films like The Shining, where most of the film takes place in a hotel, or Dawn of the Dead, where most of the film takes place in a mall. Those locations are too big. The films that I'm talking about are movies that are set in minuscule locations. These are films like 127 Hours, which takes place in the space in between the canyon wall and a boulder. Films like Phone Booth, which takes place inside a phone booth. Buried, which takes place inside a coffin. Gerald's Game, which takes place on a bed. Or the road rage story from Wild Tales, which takes place inside a car. By the way, if you haven't seen Wild Tales, definitely check it out. It is an absolute masterpiece. It is one of the best dark comedies I've ever seen. And if I'm being honest, it is one of my favorite movies of all time. So yes, definitely check that out. Now, I love movies that are set in one extremely small location because of two reasons. First of all, it fascinates me to see just how much screenwriters are able to do with one single, extremely limited location. Writing a film set entirely in one location is not easy, especially if your location is as small as this one's, you know? It is a huge challenge to keep a location like this feeling fresh and exciting. That said, Fall manages to do it in a very impressive way, you know? It is remarkable to see just how much this film is able to milk this location to its fullest. This whole movie takes place in a tiny square platform at the top of a 2,000-foot radio tower, and it never becomes boring. Now, the second reason why I love this type of films is because the stakes couldn't be higher. You know, stakes are essential if you want your audience to be invested in a story. You know, viewers always need to know what the protagonist could lose if they don't achieve their goals. And in these films, the stakes are as high as ever. Because if the protagonist of these movies don't achieve their goals, they will die. The protagonists in these movies are constantly fighting for their survival. And that is a great way to keep the stakes high and the audience invested. You know, in 127 Hours, if the protagonist doesn't free himself, he will die. In Gerald's Game, if the protagonist doesn't remove her handcuffs, she will die. And in Fall, if the characters don't find a way to get off this tower, they will die. Now, that is enough praise for this film, because Fall is not a perfect movie. And sadly, the weakest part of this film are the dialogue and the acting. The way characters interact, particularly in the first third of the film, is just way too cheesy and cliche. You know, if I'm being honest, for the first 15 to 30 minutes of this film, I wasn't feeling it, and I was struggling with the film quite a bit. You know, everything felt way too generic and uninspired, and yeah, I just wasn't enjoying it. That said, as soon as they begin to climb the tower, everything changes and the movie quickly becomes great. And that is where the film is at its best. You know, this movie does a great job at making you feel the precariousness of this situation. You know, the tension is constantly building up, and the film does a great job at keeping you invested. That said, the character interactions, a bit weak. Now, another problem that I have with this film is that it is a bit too long. And yes, even though it is only 1 hour and 47 minutes long, I believe this film would have been a lot better if some redundant beats would have been removed and the film would have been trimmed down to around 1 hour and 30 minutes. But in conclusion, Fall was an exhilarating watch that managed to put me in the shoes of someone stuck at the very top of a 2,000-foot tower. You know, even though the character interactions are weak, cheesy, and cliché, the film manages to find its footing as soon as the survival scenario kicks into gear. This film is the worst nightmare for anyone who's afraid of heights, but for me, it was a lot of fun. If I were to give this film a score in between 1 to 10, I would give it an 8 out of 10, which means I thought it was great. And that is it for my review of Fall. But now, before we jump into our third and final review of the day, which is a review of I Am Groot, let's go into our third musical break and let's go listen to Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra. And here it is.
Hey! why you had to hide away for so long. Why did we go wrong? Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Why did we go wrong?
Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the pop underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sá, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you'll enjoy that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our third and final review of the day, a review of I Am Groot. So I Am Groot is the newest Disney Plus Marvel show, and it follows Baby Groot as he does a variety of different things in the time between Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And right from the get-go, all I'll say is, this is technically a spoiler review. That said, there is not much to spoil in this show, so, you know, be warned, I guess. And when it comes to my general thoughts about I Am Groot, I don't even know what to say, because, you know, this is just way too short and not much happens, you know. I Am Groot is 5 episodes long, and each episode lasts for approximately 3 minutes, you know. It would take you approximately 15 minutes to watch the entirety of I Am Groot. And don't get me wrong, you know, the length is not an issue, you know. By the trailers, I knew it was gonna be short, so I wasn't expecting much. That said, there was a part of me that was a bit hopeful. And the reason why I was hopeful is because, one, I love Guardians of the Galaxy and I think Baby Groot is a lot of fun, and two, Disney is known for being able to tell some great, unforgettable stories in a very short period of time. Don't believe me? Just look at the many great Pixar and Walt Disney Animation short films. They are amazing. Now, I Am Groot? I Am Groot is nowhere near that level. Is it bad? No. But is it good? Nah. So what do I think about I Am Groot? It exists. It is definitely on Disney Plus. Now, even though I don't have much to say about I Am Groot, there is one thing that I have to mention. And that is the fact that I was a bit surprised by just how mean Baby Groot is throughout this episode. You know, I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in a while, so I don't know. Maybe he was always this mean, but in this show, my man is straight up evil. In episode 1, nothing too bad happens. He destroys a plant, but that's fine. In episode 2, Baby Groot commits mass genocide. Yes, I'm not kidding. Baby Groot destroys an entire civilization. So let me explain. In this episode, Baby Groot finds a tiny civilization living inside of a tiny hole. You know, they have technology, they can communicate, and they have feelings. There is even a shot where one of them is shown crying of happiness. So how does this episode end? Well, Baby Groot steps on the hole by accident and destroys their entire civilization. And yes, I know that by the end of the episode, they reveal that the alien creatures are fine. But Baby Groot didn't know that, you know? He just stepped on them, covered the scene of the crime, and then ran away. Now in episode 3, Groot meets a cool alien that is literally teaching him how to dance. The alien is doing nothing wrong. He is just teaching him how to dance. And how does Groot repay him? He straight up murders him. Yes, I'm not even kidding. Groot leads him to the ejection doors and shoots him into the vast emptiness of space. Now in episode 4, a weird bird alien can't sleep because Groot is being too noisy. So Groot skins him alive and uses his fur/feathers as a scarf. The episode literally ends with a shot of the bird fully naked, shivering because Groot stole his fur. And then episode 5 is once again not that bad. You know, he just detonates a bomb while trying to make a painting, but you know, that's fine. That's not as bad. Nobody dies, at least. But you see my point? Groot in I Am Groot is an absolute menace. Jokes aside, I Am Groot was fine. You know, it's not bad, but it is not good either. It exists. If I were to give it a score in between 1 to 10, I would give it a 5 out of 10, which means I thought it was meh. You know, once again, it exists. And that is it for my review of I Am Groot. But now it is time to jump into our fourth and final musical break, and it is time to go listen to You Can Get It If You Really Want by Jimmy Cliff. And here it is.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try. Try and try, you'll succeed at last. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Persecution you must bear. Win and lose, you've got to get your share. Got your mind set on a dream. You can get it, no harm it may seem now. You can get it if you really. Try, try and try.
succeed at last. I know it.
Listen.
Rome was not built in a day. Opposition will come your way. But the hotter the battle you see, it's the sweeter the victory. Try and try. You'll succeed at last. You can get it if you really want. You can get it. Try. You'll succeed at last.
You can get it if you really want.
I know it.
You can get it if you really want.
Don't I show it?
You can get it if you really want.
So don't give up now.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sá, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you'll enjoy the musical break, but that is going to be it for this week's episode. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and make sure to come back next week to hear reviews of Westworld Season 4 and Better Call Saul Season 6. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Goodbye.